But this morning, we are going to dig into this whole concept of what does Christian growth look like? So introduction to Christian growth. And you can see at the top of your sheet, we're going to start with the priority of Christian growth. This morning, we're going to talk about why Christian growth ought to be a priority. So priorities imply importance. And I got a little picture up on the screen that screams to me priorities. priorities show what's important to us, right? The things that are important, we put priority on. So I wonder what priorities did you have this week? Think back from last Sunday till today. You had a work week in there. You had a school week in there. You had family stuff. What were some of your priorities? What took your time? How many would say, you know what, there was a relationship in there that was a priority to me? Anybody that way? Okay, put your hands up. How many of you work had some sort of priority in your life? Okay, yeah? Awesome, that's good. That's probably why you still have a job. It's wonderful. Anybody have family stuff that was a priority this week? Family, kids, spouse, brother, sister, parents? Yeah? Okay. Any other priorities? Anything just filling your mind right now? What else? Anybody? Sleep. Pops. 9:30 to bed. I look forward to that day. I really do. Yeah, sleep. Any other priorities that are, that just the minute I said priorities, you thought of it? Alex? A priority is what's important to you. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Any other priorities come to your mind? Sports? Yeah. Okay. Breakfast meals. Okay, yeah. Depending upon what gender you are, it may be more priority than others, but yeah, eating, like, I'm hungry, right? You know what's amazing? When we think about priorities, and I know I know we were just talking about all these secular priorities, but how often when we line up the priorities of our week, do we actually consider spiritual priorities? If you had the to-do list of your life and you were thinking, okay, these are my priorities this week, how many of you at the top of the list would be your Christian growth, your gospel growth? Where would that fit on your priority list? And you say, well, I mean, that's assumed, right? I mean, everybody like just supposed to. Well, actually, when we see what the scripture says, we actually see that all the things we just talked about are underneath this one priority. So even though it may seem redundant, and even though it may be assumed over and over again, we must place a priority on our Christian growth. Because, as we're going to see today, God places a priority on our Christian growth. So our text today, this is all going to come out of 2 Peter chapter 1. But the text is so important for this. Like, when we start to understand what the Christian life is, we start to see that God puts such a priority on these things that if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Earlier in this passage, he says, when he says these qualities, he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with these things. And what he's talking about is the whole of gospel growth. So what are your priorities? Because if we have this priority right, it doesn't mean that you're going to get everything done, because you are not God. You probably should never have the goal that you are going to accomplish everything every day. Okay? Only God gets everything done, right? So we depend on him. But if you have this priority right, it actually brings every other priority into the proper alignment. That's what that verse just said, wasn't it? Look down at your Bible. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. So you say, all of my priorities, I want to make sure they're all in the proper balance. I mean, do you ever feel like in your life you can advance in one priority, but to advance in that priority, everything else has to stall? Man, I really want to work. I want to be a better worker. I want to grow in my career. And you advance in your career, but relationships like fall apart. Ever been there? Man, I really want to save some money. But all of a sudden you start focusing on that priority and the other priorities fall apart, don't they? Can't keep it all together. But Peter tells us, put this priority in the right place and the other things find their proper position. It's not that you'll get everything done. It's not that you'll be perfect in all those things, but they will find their right place and you will be effective. So our gospel growth point this morning is why we must place a priority on gospel growth. And even as we start, this is like part class and part check your heart. What priority does your gospel growth have in your life? I mean, it's at the top. Really? Really? Let's see what God says, and then let's check our own heart. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump into the rest of this. Father, help us. Lord, we do not want to be ineffective. Lord, we're tired of not bearing fruit. We need your grace. Help us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this process of gospel growth, it involves finding our faith in the proper place and then supplementing it with these spiritual qualities. And really the process that Peter describes, and we talked about this last week, is not that we have these little sprouts of trees all over our hearts. Like we've got this little sprig of virtue that kind of grows up over here and we got to water that. But at the same time we water that, we got to like run over here real fast because we've got this sprig of knowledge over here that we got to keep watered too, you know? And oh man, wait a second, while I was watering that one, a bug got on the self-control one. Because there's always like a bug that just gets in your self-control, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, yeah. Okay. The bug's over there, so you're like spraying that stuff on it. It doesn't work like that at all. Peter actually says that we're to add to our faith virtue and add to our virtue knowledge and add to our knowledge self-control and add to our self-control steadfastness. It's not saplings all over a garden. It's one tree. It's one tree where these things are advancing in tandem. They all depend on one another to grow. But as you grow, the one helps you with the other. So as you need self-control, you depend on the knowledge of Christ that is your power for self-control. As you need steadfastness, that steadfastness is bolstered by a heart that is controlled, right? So steadfastness falls apart when we're not self-controlled. This is spiritual maturity. This is gospel growth. So really the things I want us to notice are the priority that God places on our spiritual growth. So what does God think about your spiritual growth? The first thing I want you to notice is it's on your sheet. God expects you to grow. God expects you to grow, just like when you are about to plant a seed. And I say you because my family is like a black thumb. Like, you've heard of green thumbs? Praise the Lord for green thumbs, because we have food to eat. Because if it was dependent on me and my wife, we would all starve. Like, the whole food system would fall apart. Cows, grass would not even grow if it was up to us, because we are black thumbs. But if you were to plant a seed, you go to a lot of work, don't you? You dig that hole just right. You find the right place that has the right amount of light, right amount of shade. You plant the seed. You cover it up with just the right amount of soil. You give it just the right amount of water. You wait. You come back. You water it a little more. You don't just keep watering that thing. It'll drown, right? There's the expectation when you plant that seed that it's going to grow. And remember, I say you because I kill plants. God has the expectation that when he works in your life, the expectation is that you're going to grow. He doesn't just save you that so that someday you can be with him in heaven for eternity. He saves you so you will grow today. A similar illustration would be that of a child. When we're parenting, and I think of this especially right now because I've got a toddler and an infant in my home, okay? The expectation is that they will grow. The expectation is that that will not be their senior art project in high school. Okay? That's the expectation. You're like, they're Picasso. Okay, you got to get the basics down before you get to Picasso. Okay? The expectation is that they will mature. And the same is true of God in your life. God expects you to grow. It's your first blank on your sheet. How do we know that God expects us to grow? Well, He's called us to growth. He's called us to it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that we would become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Verse 3 tells us that this calling is through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory. Just been meditating on that phrase this week. God has called us to growth. God has called you to share His glory. So the emptiness that is in your soul because of sin, God has called you to fill that up with His glory. He has called us to share in His glory and excellence. That is what we've been called to. And both, this is both a promise of power in our lives. So He's called us, so He promises to give us power. But it's also a pursuit to keep up with this calling. So inherent in the calling of God that is placed upon us, the calling that guarantees that we will trust in Christ, that calling inherent in it is the fact that God is going to give you power to grow, but also there will be a pursuit on your part. Now, where do I see that? Where do I see that? Well, it's all throughout the New Testament. Here's just a couple of them. One of the first ones I want you to notice is this one in, this one's in Philippians. Let's look at the Philippians first. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Do you see this? The calling of God, the power of God is attached to it, but there's also a pursuit. I press on because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God has called us to this growth. 1 Peter 5:10, this one's huge. The God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You see those two pieces working together? That calling is the promise of power. He's called us, He will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. But it's also this encouragement to pursue. Pursue it. Because Christ Jesus has made me His own, I press on to make it my own. God has called us to this growth where we are changed. We have His power resting on us, and we go out in the world and we represent Him. We've been called to His glory and excellence. The next thing the New Testament shows us about how God expects growth is that God commands it. God commands us to grow in the gospel. That's your next blank. So look at how it says it here on the screen. This is right from 2 Peter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do those things come? They come through the knowledge of Him who called us. There's this command, get to know Christ, because as you get to know Christ, that's how you will discover the divine power that gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's how those two work. Get to know Christ in an intimate, firsthand, face-to-face, you've experienced it kind of a way. Get to know Him. Experience Him. Because that is the path to finding the power that grants you all things that pertain to life and godliness. God commands us to grow. Again, we see this in the New Testament. We see this, 2 Peter chapter 3. This is at the end of the book. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. The command is grow. Grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see that? God commands you to grow. How do we know God expects it? He commands it. And what's so beautiful about this is God wants you to know Him. Like, He wants you to experience the power that comes from knowing him. And so he commands you to know him. It's wonderful. God expects it. This is a really peaceful picture. Anybody feeling like really at peace right now? Like, I was really tense earlier, but now you put that picture up there. The verse disappeared while you were talking. It felt like it's just so peaceful. You know what? It's a very peaceful picture, but that's not a picture of Christian growth. You are not allowed to drift spiritually. You are not allowed to just go wherever the wind blows you. God expects you to grow. You know, I'm just taking a break right now. I mean, I've been going so hard after the Lord. I think I'm okay. I mean, at least compared to other people, I'm okay, you know, and like, it's pretty good. And so I'm kind of just drifting right now. God does not allow that. He commands us to grow. We're looking at a lot of Peter's words here. He says it in another way. Okay, got this cute picture of a baby, right? Cute picture. Super cute. Yeah. You need to have that picture in mind when you read what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. See, we kind of read that verse. We're like, oh, like a newborn baby long for the pure spiritual milk. We're like, Jesus, I love you. I'm like a little baby. Help me. Like, oh, so sweet. Little baby Christian. It's not the picture at all. The picture is survival, guys. And if you've ever been around a child that needs to eat and the food source is not nearby, you begin to realize survival, okay? It is survival. It is, I will do everything in my power, including turning my face blue, tense every single muscle, and kick it in weird contortions. Hopefully my parents think something is wrong because I want to eat. The command for you is to long for the pure spiritual milk of the word that way because it is your survival. The command is you grow because if you long for that spiritual milk, by it you may grow up into salvation. You seeing this? God expects you to grow. He commands it. Third thing we see from the New Testament, how God expects us to grow is that he corrects us when we don't grow. You can turn over one page in 2 Peter, well, if you're still in 2 Peter 1, I'm not sure where you're at. 2 Peter chapter 1, really Peter says, if you are not growing, it's not a pretty picture. If these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being, and listen to these words, ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So it's not just that we can drift. It's not just that we can just one day get saved and then the next day end up in heaven. There is correction involved. God corrects. He rebukes. It's not right. Something is missing. Like the picture of the Christian is one who grows. And when there's a person who is a Christian who is not growing, something's wrong. So God corrects. We look at a child that is outside of their role. Like when they are just disregarding authority, we say something's wrong there that needs to be corrected. It needs to be corrected before they get a job because that's not going to fly. You don't act like that in front of an employer. And you teach children this, right? I mean, that's something's missing. If you're not maturing and growing and learning what it looks like to be an adult, then you need to be corrected and pointed back to what's right. And this happens in the New Testament with Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. I should be able to address you as a spiritual, mature person, but I can't. But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Hear that correction? And even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? We're not to stay as a baby. We're not to stay anywhere as a Christian. We're to grow. The expectation from God on your behalf is that you would. God has called you to it. He's called you to His glory and His excellence. He's commanded it to the point that if you do not grow, you're disobeying. And then He corrects us when we don't. I wonder, what's happening in your life right now? Is God even right now using His word to correct you about how you view the Christian life? It does not magically happen as you are adrift at sea in spirituality. Christian gospel growth occurs as we pursue the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We make every effort to supplement our faith with these spiritual qualities so that the grace of God can cultivate virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness in our hearts to the point that we will attain that fullness in Christ. So what stage are you at in your Christian life? What stage are you at? No. This progression here is real helpful because we see things like, you know, as you progress in life at the proper pace, there are blessings that are attached to it, right? Like as you progress and mature and grow in the Christian life, like there are blessings that are attached to it. Like you are able to move on in life, you're able to grow, you're able to get a job, and I'm not saying that all of these have to be the path, but as you grow, there are blessings attached to it. If you don't grow, things don't look real right. Right? To where if you have an adult who's acting like he's still in junior high, something doesn't look right. Ever seen anybody like that? Anybody just come to your mind? Hopefully they're not in your family. Okay? Just act like a child. That brings to mind a video, and I'd like to show it. I think it'll just help put a picture on this thought. That when we are off in our growth stage, we do not advance. We miss blessings. And this is actually just very funny, and it makes that point. So here we go. So when we're not advancing, something's wrong, right? Now, I know that it's completely silly and actually just fun to watch, but just imagine spiritually. Imagine spiritually the same situation. There are some of us in this room, we have the knowledge. It's not that there's something broken. We've been called to it. We've been commanded to it. We're even corrected when it's not right, but we still act way off. It's like something's not right there. And the priority is that we would grow. Place the priority that God places on your spiritual growth. God expects you to grow. The last thing I want us to notice is this, is that God blesses you when you do grow. He blesses you. Because as we grow, first blank under this point, we are stabilized in doctrine and community. We're stabilized in doctrine. So Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that as we pursue Christ, as we are growing in this knowledge of who Christ is, there's something at work in us, and it comes through the knowledge of Him who has called us. So this work in us is a stabilizing work. It's a stabilizing the work that keeps us from false doctrine. It keeps us from eating the wrong things. Keeps us from putting the wrong stuff in our mouth. Keeps us from doing things that would harm us. And really, the New Testament shares with us that, hey, don't put the wrong stuff in your mouth because it's not going to help you. The process of spiritual growth in Ephesians is that we would grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The goal is so that we wouldn't put the wrong kind of doctrine in our mouth. And as we grow, we no longer are like children putting the wrong stuff in our mouth. It actually gives us stability in doctrine. Have you ever wondered why some people just seem to catch on to every single new thing that they hear? Oh, wow, that sounds really good. What? Jesus was actually married? Wow. They've got historical documents to prove it? What? I had no idea. Now, the goal is that you would be stabilized in your Christian life to the point that those things would come up and you'd be like, that's gross. I don't want to eat that. I'm not sticking an extension cord in my mouth. I'm an adult, right? We're stabilized in doctrine to the point that we can discern truth from error. But we're also stabilized in community. So as we grow together. The passage in Ephesians 4 goes on. We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what happens? Yes, we grow together. So the parts that are all functioning work together to make us better. So we're better together. That's the glorious thing about growth, is that you grow in your doctrinal stability, you grow in community, and together we are stronger as a result. So God blesses us, and as we grow, we're stabilized in doctrine and we're stabilized in community. There's something else. As we grow, we also produce spiritual fruit. We produce spiritual fruit. And the blessing is that fruit comes to those who grow. Fruit comes to those who grow. There's abundance available to us. Peter says it in 2 Peter chapter 1, "For in this way, in growing in gospel growth, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Abundantly, richly provided for you because you've grown. It's not that you have earned your entrance into heaven. It's that as you have grown, you've shown evidence that you are a child of heaven. God blesses us when we grow. He blesses us with fruit. As we grow, we are assured in our salvation. So just like if you walk up to a tree and you can tell that it's alive because it's producing the right kind of fruit, the same thing is true of us. As you grow spiritually, you're able to look at that and say, yes, I am a Christian. Peter says it in his epistle the same way. He says, well, look, know, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. So as you're growing, what's happening is you're confirming your calling and election. You look and you say, well, there's that fruit. Wow, God's producing that. Well, there's that fruit on the tree. God's producing it. We're assured of our salvation. That's a blessing of growth. One last one. As we grow, we are able to serve one another. We're able to serve. So Hebrews chapter 5 talks about how we all ought to be in a place where we are helping other people. The gospel does not just change you so that you can have your own little world and have it all just right. Keep all the problems out. Don't mess with me. I don't want to have those things. The gospel changes us so that we are stable in doctrine and community so that we can help other people along. Book of Hebrews chapter 5 says it this way. It says that, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," the expectation is that as we grow, we ought to be in a place where we are teachers. "You need someone to teach you again the basic principles." So know those basic principles so that you're able to serve one another, help one another. Those are the blessings of gospel growth. So let me bring you back to that gospel growth point. And you say, you know what, Tom, this was really, I already knew those things. We knew those things. It's really interesting, isn't it? We all knew those things, or probably most of those things, or maybe half those things, or maybe you're learning them, but isn't it amazing how the things we know are not always attached to our growth? And actually, that's exactly what the Bible says. It says that there's a difference between actual knowledge and obedience. Knowledge by itself does not produce anything. The only knowledge that produces something is the knowledge that comes from experience with Jesus Christ, that intimate knowledge, but just knowing something. Oh yeah, I knew that. I knew God expects growth. Oh yeah, I knew that God blesses me when I grow. I mean, that's just how it works, right? But knowledge does not equal growth. How do we grow? We grow by making this priority on gospel growth to the point that we say, yes, I will obey. I will obey the commands of Scripture. I will grow in the knowledge, and this isn't just head knowledge, something we know facts about. I will grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the knowledge that changes, that firsthand, experiential, divine power attached to it, knowledge. So I wonder, what priority have you placed on your gospel growth? What priority have you placed on your gospel growth? And what priority are you going to place on your gospel growth this week? So, real helpful just would be to walk through some of the questions on the backside of your sheet. How often do you think about your own spiritual maturity? Does time alone create spiritual maturity? How can you place greater priority on your spiritual growth this week? Which blessing that comes as a result of gospel growth impacted you the most? I think the question that ought to ring in our minds on our way out is, okay, if this is such a priority to God and it's not assumed by God to the point that he brings it up over and over again in the New Testament, to the point that he just keeps coming back to it and reminding me of it over and over again, if this is such a priority to God, how can I place a greater priority on my spiritual growth this week? What does that look like for you? What's it look like? You say, well, I mean, I'm already there. Well, then you probably are in heaven. Okay? Probably. And that I would love to talk. So far, I haven't talked to a human, like on this earth. I haven't done that yet. We can all grow in placing a greater priority on our spiritual growth. So what's important to you this week? What's going to be at the top of the to-do list? What's going to actually be the overlay that you see every other priority through? What are you going to do this week to place a greater priority on gospel growth?